Blog Talk Radio.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me.
I do it like Nina Simone, okay? That was your Sunday afternoon culture, Sunday evening culture, because some of y'all are going to listen to trap music all week. So I just did you a favor. I just inserted culture in your week. That's how we do on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. I am Simply Nay. We are in full effect. I'm going to give out this number because y'all get excited and be like, I don't know how to call in. The number here is 646-787-8623. This week, we are, of course, sponsored by E4Eve Online, the premier website for lesbian dating. And what I hear is there's about to be an app for that. Yes, God. So I'd invite you to check out E4Eve Online. That's EVE, the number 4, EVE Online, on your Facebook, on your Twitter, all up over the place. And, of course, as we say here, support is free. We are also sponsored by The Future Foundation is an awesome 501c3 that teaches youth and young adults social justice and how to organize to make the future of their city a better place to be. I'd invite you to support the work that they do. It's wicked awesome. Take an opportunity to do something big and better than yourself. I want to shout out Core Foods because we couldn't have Danny Sigwalt here without shouting out her husband's business, right? Core Foods is all things awesome and vegan, and we're going to have the links and all that awesome information given to you directly by Danny herself. Also, we are the media sponsors of The Enchanted Forest, the only all-Black, all-queer ballet coming to Historic 8th Street, specifically the Atlas Theater, on October 11th. there is still the opportunity to buy tickets to sponsor. And this is the first time ever that there will be a pre-show at the cocktail reception. You want to be in the building. So I invite you to go to Oasis Dance Co. That's OASISDANCECO.org or .com, because, you know, these days they all work. And see how you can get affiliated with this awesome, awesome scenario. I'll say at 6:05 p.m. that I am really looking for my other more mainstream media sources to step up to the call and really engage and really put into this project, which is an awesome endeavor. This is their fifth year doing the Austin Gilliard Awards, where they take their talent of dance and really put into play the community service aspect of why they do the work. Honorees this year include, but are not limited to, Sheila Alexander Reed, the director of the Mayor's Office of LGBT Affairs, as well as Eleanor Holmes Norton, who is our Congresswoman, yes, yes, God, and has been since I was little. I'm just going to put that all the way out there. And for the first time ever this year, there will be a new award, and this award is entitled the Clarence Star Award. And we're going to take a moment at this time just to give him his just due. He recently passed away this week. We're going to have a moment of silence in his honor, and then I'll proceed to tell you about the Clarence Star Award. A moment of silence, please. And we thank you. The inaugural recipient of the Clarence Star Award has been announced online, but will be announced again at the show. I'm not giving that up here. As with every successor, this award is given to inspirations and chosen family figures. These individuals and organizations serve young members of the LGBTQ community that have been overlooked and unaccepted. These recipients have been the seed for many who have become stars in the DMV area and beyond. Again, we look to pay homage to the legacy and the love that was given by Mr. Clarence Starr and all of those who knew and respected him. I'm so excited about what we're going to be talking about today. It's such a big damn deal. We got to get through these sponsors. There's so many. We're sponsored by the Party Pack. We're sponsored by Badass Bingo. And we are also sponsored by Asana Music, who is going to be the sixth show we produce here on One Mic Stand with Simply Nick. They're going to be contributing, and we're really excited about the other contributors that are going to bring this show that's really all things music, all things pop culture, all things to be entertained by. Andre's Asylum is coming in October. Things got a little crazy for a young brother, so he wants to make sure that everything is to his liking and to the quality that you all deserve. So we have no problems with doing a bit of a delay to make sure that it's quality and not quantity over here at Stand On My Media. Of course, we cannot produce any shows without giving just due and respect to the main sponsor of all sponsors, Stand Omni Media. Where do you stand? Giving you the best in all platforms of independent media, it is my hope that you continuously support us, because as we say here, where do you stand? Support is free. I'm going to play another song, and then we're going to get right into our guest for the day. I am so excited to be speaking to Danny, and you all should be too. Next up, Yo-Yo. Can't play with my yo-yo. I know I took it all the way back, but don't judge me.
Yo, Jinx, man, we gotta find somebody that's down for hers, man. All these girls sipping, man. Who you think fit the category? Category. 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 Category.
My name is Yo-Yo. I'm not a one more. I like to flow so swift. It's got to be a gift. So yo, let the beat flip. As I riff and rhyme and rap and slap, all the girls who can't adapt to the fact I hit the 8-ball often. The earrings I wear are called dolphins. Check the booty. So it's kind of soft. And if you touch it, you're living in a coffin.
Word of mouth.
I'm in the 90s. The deal in the 80s, right? I rock those mics. Do your much right in the world. Cut the just like a thick list. Killing it, I think it's time to look at people sending our own to see if we want to live with justice and harmony. How many rounds must I go in order to let my people know it's time for our deep to change?
You can't play with my young.
It tried to play us out and cut the song off early, but we A-okay. We're going to get right into our small business shout-out because it totally relates to what the hell we're talking about today. I'm also going to bring our guest on the line. Hi, Danny. How you doing, Love Muffin?
Hi. How are you, Love?
Welcome to the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. This is how we do shit, and it's uncensored, unbiased, really cool radio. And so you didn't know this, but every week we give out a small business shout out. And our small business shout out this week goes to Core Foods. So,
aww, that's so sweet.
If you tell the folks about Core Foods and what's going on in the kitchen, in the kitchen, pun intended,
right,
we would love it.
So Core Food is a multi-pronged approach in terms of our marketing and services that we offer. The most public thing that y'all are going to see is we do bi-monthly, maybe quarterly vegan pop-ups where we do fine dining, five-course vegan meals for a standard fee. My husband, Chris, is the chef, and he creates these masterpieces of meals that just make your taste buds sing and make me so happy. And then the other half of our business model is we provide consulting to small businesses, primarily community establishments and Black-owned businesses that are struggling because of the shift in the local economy.
Now, I have a specific question. Are these foods affordable? I know it, but you know what the masters are going to say. Core food, vegan, juicy, sounds
right.
Posh. Can my pocket
so
handle
the
it?
The pop-ups are about $60, which for a five-course meal is damn cheap. But Chris is also chef at the Potter's House right now, which is on Columbia Road, and the food there is totally affordable. You can get a full meal for like $8 and be happy. The shrimp and grits, I think, is like $10. And delicious.
Winning. And that's what we do here. Small business shout out. We tweeted it. Find it on Twitter. It's going to be on our page. Much love to Core Foods. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I can give just a digital shout out real quick for Core Foods. You can find us on Twitter at Core Food, on Facebook at /CoreFoodDC, or on the web at corefood.co, not C-O-M.
Look at God. Everything you need right here on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. So, we're getting the small business shout out. We've played a couple of tunes. Did you like our playlist?
I love them.
I'm just saying. We try to play what radio's not going to play. When was the last time somebody played You Can't Play With My Yo-Yo? Like,
I have no idea.
But
I
did.
It's been a minute.
For sure. It's been a minute and a half. Maybe it's been an hour.
And I am so glad that you did, Nay.
Thank you very much. I want to give the opportunity for you to introduce yourself. Let people who don't know who Danny is. So if you had to describe yourself, how would you introduce yourself to the 1 million plus folks chilling on the One Mic Stand?
Hey, I am a D.C. native. I'm a fourth-generation Washingtonian who grew up in Columbia Heights, who has witnessed the rampant gentrification that so many people in this country are dealing with and loss of their home. I saw a lot of people pushed out, and that made me angry, and so I decided to try to figure out how to fight for justice. So that's what I work on, and I do that in a bunch of ways. I work with local churches, local nonprofits, local elected officials, and wannabe elected officials to build power among DC's Black community. This is what I do, and I'm trying to figure out how to make that work from a business standpoint now, because money is important, and business owners have power. So that's where I'm at right now.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, to the person who's like, oh, shit, some more of this social justice-y stuff, I think that when you listen to the walk, when my stand with Simply Nay and I go on my social justice bills, maybe I might sound like Charlie Brown's teachers on the Peanuts and shit. So, I'm just saying, I do it all the time. In your own words, why should the average listener give a fuck? I don't live in D.C. Maybe I live in San Francisco, or maybe I live in Brooklyn, or maybe I live in Wisconsin, or maybe I live in Kalamazoo. Right. Why should I give 8 shits? Because right now I don't even give one.
I mean, because people are becoming increasingly disconnected. People don't have a sense of home. They're losing their sense of family and their sense of community. And that seems like it's okay for a while. But at the end of the day, something's going to happen to anybody, and they're going to need to be able to come home, whether or not that's physically. They need to have a sense of home and community and identity to really have that safety net that's going to help them make everything work. And this is not something that people think about anymore, in my opinion. And we need home, and we need a sense of self and community to be able to take care of ourselves and the people that we love.
Now, some people seem to think that organizing is this great, glamorous existence.
Uh-huh. Tell me more about that, Nay.
Your laughter indicates otherwise. Can you share, as a woman in this world that's trying to make a difference, what are your individual struggles?
My individual struggles are so real and so plentiful. I mean, obviously, figuring out how to make money and be able to do work that I think is meaningful is often a conflict of interest. It's something that needs to be navigated. And then also, I think that people, especially in D.C., have lost hope that there can be something better. D.C.'s got the widest income gap between white folks and black folks in the country.
Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that?
And the struggle is real. And people don't really see why it's important to work together to build something better when you need to be working all the time just to make ends meet. So trying to convince people that by organizing, there is actually hope to improve your condition is, I mean, it takes energy and it takes relationship building and it takes time and passion and maintaining your energy level can be difficult. So
I want
time and energy.
I want to get more into that. You just said so many nuggets. I'm going to get into a song break. We're going to play M.I.A.
Yeah.
Because M.I.A. is the fucking shit. And then we're going to get back into this conversation. How to change the world and still pay your bills, because that's a thing, right? And
it's not, right. And it's so real.
It's so real. And it's not a conflict of interest so much as it is the reality of a structurally capitalist society. So if I could just pick my food from a tree, maybe I wouldn't charge you to teach you how to organize. But that walk is completely different. Before I go, I've got to remind you, this Wednesday, September the 23rd, we are one of the sponsors of Sip, Speak, and Stand. It's a socially conscious social. It's going to be at Pure Lounge on U Street, 1323 U Street. Starts at 6 p.m. Lovely, lovely Mem Soul Entertainment. That's your DJ Mem. Ourselves and Get Equal have combined to bring you this big bowl of wicked awesome. I'm hoping you're in the building because I will be moderating. And, of course, we're going to share that information. I'm going to get into this song, and we're going to get back to Danny and this real talk. Let us know where you stand. If you have a question, comment, or concern, 646-787-8623. We're around.
Thank you.
favorite female rapper. My second favorite female rapper is Layla Capri. I think that MIA does not get the justice that she deserves, but she definitely gets stems on the one mic scale with Simply Nae. So, hey, we're just going to leave that alone. We're just going to bring back Danny. Hey! If you're looking to tweet
hello,
Danny,
hello.
Danny Siggy, that's DanySiggy for our folks who are not blessed. Everyone has talent. Spelling may not be one of yours. So, back to this serious chat that we were having. A lot of people have no clue beyond Barack Obama was an organizer, what it means to organize. So take us through your most key project. Like, I hate this shit. Why didn't I do something else? I'd rather go and bake. Like, please.
Oh, girl, you know, most things I'd rather go and bake. Honestly, that's such a good question. I feel like I maybe don't have an answer to that.
And don't forget, you're allowed to be uncensored here. This is a safe place, as they say in our work.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. I just, I don't know that I have an answer. Like, I know the moments in the projects that I've been working on where I'm just like, this is so hard. Why am I doing this? Like working on Graylin Hagler City Council campaign last year, there were moments where I was just like, we're not going to win. Like, the odds are against us. What's the point? And that was really difficult. But I think that with the few exceptions of like working for organizations whose work that I believed in, but whose people I didn't believe in, I've been blessed not to have to commit myself for a paycheck to something that I just flat out don't believe in.
And that's awesome. And that's what makes you win. Now, I want to ask you, for people who don't understand or have the same skill sets that you have and have not yet to find a balance between working on issues and policies and working with politicians, why the combination of the both? In your opinion, why do you do that?
Right, because it's important to build some kind of, you know, goodwill on some level with the power structure as it is, right? There are always going to be some kind of entry point to the political system that aren't going to make you want to throw up in your mouth when you think about it. Like, there are a lot of people up there on the dais who are not our friends, but there are some people who we can make temporary friends with to get stuff passed. And having building relationships and having name recognition in that arena can be really helpful.
I think it's important to highlight now that you were the creator, the founder, the thought leader behind Washington Peace Center's Skillshare that they have, that most people get their free
right.
knowledge. And I want to touch more on, in a Black Lives Matter, I'm going to block the street, I'm going to lay here and you can lock me up, I don't care. Why is developing our skills, sharpening our skills, and sharing our skills as opposed to hoarding them for pay very important
right.
to building the power that you speak of?
Well, I think that with a lot of people that I see organizing, they're missing, you know, it's really, really hard to be in the weeds and remember the key lessons of this is why we do what we do. Like, I know you've been there with me, like, where you're just like, I have to just get this done. Like, I need to do it and get it done and put it out there into the world without thinking through strategy or, you know, different impacts of communities or things of that nature. It's really valuable to be able to hold space for people to either revisit learned lessons or learn those lessons for the first time to make sure that their projects and movements are inclusive and thoughtful and well executed. Because the number of times that I've seen people confuse like a strategy with a tactic, and confuse long time organizing with short term vision is just enough to make me throw my hands up in the air and give up. So instead of doing that, I think it's really important to hold space and remind people and be a resource to them, because no one person's going to change the world. But if a lot of us are working on it, we have a much better choice. Champ.
Oh, shit. That means the Big Sean song isn't true. One man, it can't happen that way. It can't happen that way. I'm sorry that your top 100 or your top 10 or whatever, it depends on whatever magazine you pick up, your top 10 activists aren't going to do it. Sorry, find a friend.
I feel like one greedy capitalist could change the world like really badly, but not for the good of people in general.
So how about those friends who cleave to consciousness but say, fuck politics? There's 192 countries that can hear this show. We're clearly leaning towards a political presidential season. What say ye, Ms. DeGualt? What say ye?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's hard. I mean, I grasped to local politics because the repercussions are a lot more clear and immediate, you know, like if we're talking about things like increasing the child care subsidy, for example, like you see the impact of that next year, whereas, you know, we voted in Obama in 2008 and the ACA, like honestly, I'm not seeing a lot of benefits from it at this point, but I hear that it really helps a lot of people.
Great.
It's hard because it's just like, so like the elections that get the most attention, that trickle down and the impact is so much slower. And I struggle, you know, because I know that the system is inherently broken, especially that high up with, you know, questions around electoral reform and ranging from Citizens United to the Electoral College. Like, it's all broken. And we should have more of a voice than we do as citizens. But there are some people who are going to be more evil than others. And that's very clear. And I just, you know, I typically don't engage in presidential or national level politics. I know that's got to do with the fact that I'm from Washington, D.C., and we don't actually have representation for real. So it just hasn't been something that I felt like I have a lot of agency within, but I grin and bear it. I don't, like, I will point out the evil in candidates, but I go in and I vote every 4 years because if I don't, then I'm not canceling out someone's vote for Donald Trump. And I just, whoop. I feel like whoop. I need to cancel out that vote for Donald Trump.
Now you spoke on something else that's extremely important. It's like a plethora of gems, intellectual gems. DC does not have statehood. And there's so many douchebags who don't realize that we're a city, not a state. So even with our council and the moments at which they're as progressive as possible, there's always the opportunity for the feds to kick it down. I always give the example of when we decided that we would no longer say handicapped and we would prefer to use a different term. It took over 6 months for the feds to agree, we will allow you to not say handicapped anymore, which is total bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even with...
And I mean, that's touched on like the needle exchange programs in the 80s, you know, and how that's directly related. You know, Reagan wouldn't say the word AIDS on a national platform. The Congress wouldn't allow D.C. to implement a needle exchange program like every other major city in the country had already done. And today in 2015, D.C. has the highest HIV AIDS rate in the country. Like, direct correlation to the lack of autonomy that D.C.
has. So this pseudo legalization of weed, as I like to call it, because when I teach on it, people are like, oh shit, so I can't smoke in my house. No Section 8 recipient, you cannot. No housing voucher recipient, you cannot. Can you speak a little bit more on what it looks like to do this work in the district without statehood, knowing that all your wins can be kicked over tomorrow?
Right. I mean, it's basically better than not fighting, you know? And I think on some level, every time that there is a conflict with some kind of legislation that the council wants to push forward in Congress, then there's more visibility around statehood and autonomy issues. So it's a possible lose situation, but even a lose is like a media win. Worst case scenario, it'll help us get more visibility.
Let me ask you this as well. You do a lot of digicom work, as I like to call it. That's digital and communications work.
How did you
find that seat on the couch? What makes you comfortable there? And what impact does that have on the larger social justice movement? You know, some people give speeches, some people march. Some people fly it. Some people phone bank. You do digicom.
So I geek out over Excel spreadsheets and numbers and like measurable growth. And a lot of people do social media and digital communications in a way that's just like throwing out content into the universe and hoping that it gets received. But what I really like about digital is that you can really dive into the metrics, right? Like, this percent of people are engaging with the videos that I'm posting on Facebook. Oh, that's higher than my other content. I should be putting more videos up. Or people really like it when I ask open-ended questions, so I'll do more of that to grow the audience. It can be like really, really concrete work, and I think it's a skill set that people think that they have, but they don't, or that they could really strengthen in a lot of ways. And I get really excited about helping people strengthen the impact that they can have using the internet, which is pretty cheap across the board compared to other traditional media outlets.
So what is your ideal gig? Like, if you could do this for the rest of your life, what exactly would you be doing?
Right. I mean, I think that I would be figuring out ways to connect with people using the internet. I would be organizing in some capacity that might be, like, that might look like fundraising, or it might look like being out working on a campaign. But it would definitely be like, I am the nerd who likes spreadsheets and like benchmarking and thinking about numbers and thinking about how to make stuff work better, not just about building relationships and being surrounded by people and pushing politics forward. Like, both of those are super important, but I'm the person who's in the office, who likes to be in an office working in that way. So something that would offer a good mix between those two things would be my ideal.
That sounds awesome. So there's somebody who's listened to this show who's like, I'm going to fucking apply to do this right now. They're on Idealist. They're looking. They want to be you.
Yes.
But still.
Uh-huh.
What advice do you have?
That's weird.
Yes. What advice do you have for an aspiring organizer that you wish somebody would have told you?
Probably to get people to look at your resumes. Like, find somebody who's, like, in that world, who has the type of job that you want, and ask them for support and wisdom in terms of what kind of words in my resume are going to be really helpful, and how to learn how to build that language for the resume and cover letter to really stand out and seem like somebody who is already in that role, living in activist organizer land. I think that having people in your life who can serve as mentors and support really help you get through the door, and connecting with people in the organizations that you're interested in applying to. Because if you can't organize your way into a job, that's probably not the best sign.
Exactly. So I want to ask, what do you do to keep sane? This social justice world is all around us. Every day there's a brand new, you know, every day there's a brand new situation or scenario. So I really want to know, what do you do other than organizing?
I lift weights. I really enjoy lifting weights. It's my new 2015 obsession, which extends to trying to make sure that, like, I am a physically active person, because it's real easy to just, like, you know, spread out on the couch and watch bad TV and just completely disengage from the world after a difficult day. I also am really picky about the people that I surround myself with, and am really committed to maintaining relationships with people who are really important to me. So I do basic things like go out to fancy bars on occasion and make fun of people and people watch, you know, and find joy in just the daily experiences of living in the city that I love.
So bicycling is very controversial in DC. And right. I could not have this conversation with you without a moment to rant about bicycling. Say what you will.
Right. It's so funny to me. So I ride my bike everywhere. Well, most of the time currently I'm not, because I'm dealing with some back issues, but that's an aside. I bike everywhere. I bike anywhere in the city. I bike to Maryland sometimes. Like, I love riding my bike. And, you know, much of old school DC sees bicycling as a form of gentrification and something that white folks do, and will fight tooth and nail against things like bike lanes or sufficient bike racks or whatever, because older folks, like people who are older in age, typically don't ride bikes, you know, because that's a physical thing. And they become threatened by the presence of bikes because they think that that equals things like displacement. And I think that the vision of biking in DC has been incredibly whitewashed, to the point where bicyclists of color, especially in political conversations, are almost invisible. So when I'm hanging out with a bunch of older church people who I organize with on occasion, they're almost always incredibly surprised to learn that I'm a serious bicyclist, because they just don't equate young Black people with being bicyclists. They think that it's all the newcomers. But you know, bicycling is so good on so many levels. It's fun, it's stress relieving, it's exercise, it reduces traffic, it's good for public health, like across the board. There's so many reasons why bicycling is something that people across the city should be supporting in terms of building infrastructure for. But you know, the same people will talk about how bicyclists are so dangerous and they've run red lights. We'll also talk about how they hate the fact that bicyclists are always on the street and disrupting traffic, but don't want to invest in infrastructure for bike lanes. It's really a strange situation that gentrification is built in the city, but I like my bike. I think we should have bike lanes. I think we should have infrastructure to make biking safer in the city generally, and encourage lots of people to ride bikes, because traffic in the city is terrible. And bikes help that.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal. I want to touch on, I have so many topics to touch on. I'm just going down my list.
This whole
idea of Black Lives Matter, right? I want to talk to you specifically about Black feminism mattering too.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say that in any conversations I've had with you, you've ever been like, hey, I'm a fucking feminist. But how do you feel?
Wait, I can't hear you.
I said that your actions indicate that you are a feminist.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you feel about basically, well, this is a two-part question. How do you feel about the difficulty that Black feminists have just from the larger feminist spectrum, and also how that may or may not have played a role in the recent defunding of Planned Parenthood? Yes, we're fucking going there. We're going there. You know what we're doing.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to start off with trying to be a Black feminist in the larger feminist world.
Right. Huh. Well, you know, for starters, I think that Black communities and Black families have been incredibly matriarchal since forever, right? And I think that the word feminism is something that white women came up with, I don't know, in the 19th century. I do know in the 19th century. And the first waivers were fighting for the right to vote that Black women didn't get until, you know, depending on where they were, the 50s and the 60s. So the way that feminism was established in the U.S. was strategically excluding Black women. And so I totally understand when Black folks are like, feminism isn't for us, because the feminist movement wasn't built for us. But, you know, thinking about Black women in roles of leadership and access to jobs and pay equality and, you know, I'm not going to touch reproductive justice just yet, but all of these things, I think, are supported by and large in the Black community, but this word feminism is really scary. I was raised by a feminist. My mama, like, goes ham on people when they are clearly being sexist and has my whole life. So, you know, I was raised with values. I was raised with very clear values around I deserve anything that any man is entitled to. I am just as smart and just as capable as any man in my life. I just need to work hard and be dedicated in order to get what I need. And then I guess, you know, it's also important to understand and realize that in terms of the history of freedom movements, Black freedom movements, women have been so central to making any of that shit happen and don't always get the credit that they deserve. So I really appreciate people who are engaged in like highlighting the histories and realities of Black women in our social movements to get to where we're at right now. And then I feel like you were asking me to say something about Planned Parenthood and I could go off. So can I ask you to like ask a specific question?
Yes. So my specific question, because I could go off too, girl, and that's probably what I'll be talking about next week on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay, but I have to give it time because I don't want to just have 60 minutes of me cursing everybody out in alphabetical order and in Spanish. No, because I'm so angry. And what I'm angry about is not the defunding. I'm angry about the lack of solidarity and the lack of succinct messaging that allowed this to happen. I am angry about the fact that the reality is with our feminist and women empowerment organizations, because that's how I look at them. I don't look at it as a women's health thing. As women empowerment organizations, when you don't have employees who look and live these experiences going into the communities where these issues matter, this is how this shit happens.
Right. I mean, and also, let's be real, there's a surprisingly large movement, obviously dominated by men in the Black community, around abortion is Black genocide, which is so infuriating. When I was in college, I worked at a Planned Parenthood, and this woman follows me on a bus with a pamphlet trying to get me to agree with her that abortion and Planned Parenthood are really trying to, you know, enact some kind of Black genocide, and that Planned Parenthood is the biggest threat to the Black community that we're facing. And I'm just like, what? You don't think that lack of education and the prison industrial complex and police shooting down Black children is a bigger threat to the Black community? Right. And every single time I find my, well, I try to disengage now. I've gotten a lot better about not going crazy on these people. But every time I engage, I'm just like, okay, fine. You could have that idea. I would like the pro-life debate is not something that's easily won for people. Right. But what I try to engage in is that it's critical that we build communities that are able to sustain joyful Black life. And a key part of that is having the institutions set up to empower women to make decisions about when they do and don't want to have children.
I agree with that. And I think that we live in a society where we're consistently saying land of the free and home of the brave unless I don't like it.
Right.
And so the last question I'm going to ask you,
before I get into our final song. And we're going to have you back because just chatting with you was so awesome. But this entire campaign for a loud debate, because of the things that are going on with the Democratic National Committee and their intentional lack of debate, without more of a word. So right. I wanted to know if we could have maximum debates, or just, you know, if we don't, what are the issues that you need to hear touched on in upcoming debate?
Right. I need to hear about, I always need to hear about the military, right? I feel like it's real easy to forget about the drones and the, just the terrible violence that the U.S. inflicts on so many countries across the world, and how much of my tax dollars are paying for that. I'd like to hear conversations about continuing to improve on healthcare, because Obamacare ain't really working for me at this point, and I really think that we need to continue to work towards having a single-payer healthcare system that isn't just inflating the profits of these huge health insurance companies that don't really care about us. And I need to hear about conversations about community policing and about transparency around the militarization of police in cities across the country. I think that those are the things that I really want to be hearing about from the Democratic candidates, especially.
That was refreshing. So the way we do it on the One Mic Stand is we allow you to close out how you'd like. So if you never say shit else again in 192 countries to over a million listeners, what is your one-liner, your 140 characters, your memes, you know what I mean? What is your
I think that we can get this shit done together. We just got to commit to it.
That was so sexy.
That's it.
And we're going to close out with Video by India Ari. It's truly been a blessing to sit
here.
We want to thank all of our sponsors. Please keep up with the Allow Debate campaign and check out Ayanna Simply Nay for it, like my page. That's facebook.com/ I Like Simply Nay. And see what I do during the week other than this show. My remarks from the campaign, which is only 1:37, can be found there, as well as some footage for some things that we're working on, Stand on our media, can be found there. Yeah, I said footage, so let that be a hit. Anywho, we're going to get into this song. Thank you so much, Danny. Folks who want to continue to support you, follow what you're doing, where would you like them to connect with you at?
If they can find me on Twitter, I'm at DanySiggy.
And that's a whole bunch of awesome.
That's where you will be able to find me.
Love it. Thank you so much for being here and showing us where do you stand. As we say, support is free. So even if you only have a nice tweet to send and no money or no anything or no jobs or contracts or nothing, like, you can hire this girl to help change the world. She's probably busy working on something right now. But I'm just saying, if you were looking for help in changing the world, that's an option. Solidarity is where you stand. We're going to get into our last song, Video by India Ari. I really thank you for taking the time to chat with us. If you want to be a guest on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay, email standomnimedia@gmail.com and the staff will get with you about what you want to talk about and if we want to talk about it too. Just being honest. That's how we do things. Love you. Later. Bye. Video.
Bye.
I won't. Depending on how the wind blows, I might even tame my toes. This is a true confession of a life learned lesson I will sit here to share with y'all. So get in where you